Welcome to the Nox Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we want to do a little reaction here. Didn't plan this. Was planning a kind of a big wrap-up on tomorrow's podcast for some notes about cutdowns and stuff, but I thought there was sufficient stuff today to hold us over for a full day. So let's talk about some stuff here. So the big stuff here, obviously, Brian Robinson got shot, which wasn't on my bingo card for this weekend, but... Yeah, that happened. I'm actually familiar with where it happened, too. And I have a buddy that lives not far from there, either. I was joking. I was going to send him down there to get a, you know, we could do a live podcast. But yeah, I'm interested in more facts about this and what any type of arrest situation would be. They're optimistic they're going to get him back this year. And, you know, he's released from the hospital, took some pictures, you know, did the whole Instagram post on the way out, the, you know, driving or whatever, taking a picture of DC. So that's good. And, you know, I do think, like, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I've seen people get shot and then be relatively okay. You know, and you wouldn't know it within a short amount of time. So I don't, you know, compare that to... you know, how much time it takes him to get back to peak physical NFL condition is probably a different story. I wouldn't be able to begin to estimate that, but it's not terribly surprising that if they were flesh wounds that he could come back this year, I wouldn't think. So they're optimistic he can return this year, and, you know, I don't think it's super unreasonable. My question is, would be like, would you... take what you got right now for Brian Robinson. Like, would you just flip the switch? I think there might be, there's enough risk, I think, in terms of, you know, downside about recovery and all that stuff that it might warrant it, right? There's the old plexical burst situation too, where maybe this wasn't exactly how it says it went down. You know, I think there's a, I've no reason to dispute him, but when you think about getting shot twice in the leg, hey, if you get shot in the glute and you get shot in the back of the leg, that's a certain pattern. So I'm not sure about how you get you know, how this all happened, and I'd be interested to see, you know, what they have. And I know that my understanding is that, like, you know, that they have suspects or whatever. I don't know. We'll see. Suspect descriptions or whatever. So we'll see how this goes. I'm interested to see how it all plays out. But glad he's okay for sure. Take a second, and reset the clock. You know, I don't think that's necessarily the worst idea. You know, can you get a second plus a different running back? Like, I don't think that's a, you know, some sort of late addition on the roster. You know, Jeff Wilson type, for example. I don't think that's necessarily the worst idea either. So, and again, we have enough shares that you can, if you want to whittle it down a little bit and that market's there, I don't think it's a terrible idea. It's probably not going to be that robust of a market for people spending seconds on a guy that just gets shot. It would sort of be my hunch, but we'll see how it plays out. Okay, so that's that. The other big one is Jimmy Garoppolo coming back to San Francisco, 1 year, $6.5 million, up to $16 million in incentives. I'll be honest with you. I cover them for Football Guys. No inclination that this was going to happen. Stunned by this. Again, things that weren't on my bingo card for this weekend was that they had basically all but said, you know, we're moving on. They basically said as much. And I will say this, I have seen it said that, oh, you know, they have just utter contempt for Garoppolo, or, you know, that they wouldn't even allow him in, you know, meetings or anything like that, or like they wouldn't even allow him on the practice field. That's actually not true. Everyone there has been actually complimentary of Garoppolo's professionalism. And like the team was actually working with him on the side. They sort of mutually agreed that he wouldn't be in meetings because there was no real inclination that he was going to be back. Right. And they kind of knew the deal, and he knew the deal. Right, they were moving on. What does this say about Trey Lance? Is I think the fascinating question. I found a tweet here from from Tim Kawakami, and he is of He's of the Athletic, the website, The Athletic, covers the 49ers. He echoes sort of what I thought and then adds to it. So I absolutely did not expect this. And that's consistent. Again, I read a lot of reports on Garoppolo. This wasn't something that was front of mind, right? This was a real backup competition between, Sudfeld was thought of as a third backup, right? And it was a competition of, hey, can Brock Purdy make this roster? This wasn't a Garoppolo's the number two guy. This is not how this went down. So he says, I did not expect this. And yes, it opens up conversations that Shanahan and Lynch feel they need insurance in case Lance isn't good enough this year. I'll say this about Lance. Again, covered them for Football Guys. Wasn't there, but read all the reports every day. Inconsistent in some of his throws. I don't know if that's better or worse than Garoppolo. Some of the when you look at actually some of the numbers on his throws in camp, like it's been pretty good. Like I saw up north of 70% completion percentage. Again, what good that is for, I'm not sure. In training camp, and again, completion percentage even like as a metric anyways isn't necessarily the greatest thing. But had some positive stuff, right? It's had some positive buzz, but also right, to the media reports. So I am fascinated by this. I don't think it's a situation where Garoppolo is going to come in and take his job. They have Super Bowl aspirations, and they've seen Jimmy Garoppolo go that far. And I think, for that, it's a cheap deal. It's not that expensive. So I think it's a good idea for them. And I think it's probably what I think is a bummer that this didn't happen in like July, because that might have really hurt Lance's cost. So the people that actually took Lance at, as a first round startup pick, they're not actually going to pay the price for it, right? Right now. With the market drop. So that's kind of my reaction to this. Again, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is if this is an opportunity for him to, it's probably better for him that he does this and than to go out on the open market right now and sort of bounce around for a year, right? I think that this is probably better for his long-term ability to be a starter. So that would sort of be my hunch. So some other things here, we can go a little bit quicker. Laviska Shenault traded to the Panthers. He's a little bit gadgety. I've talked about how he's, how he had that sort of inefficient production last year. Was one of five wide receivers in the history of the NFL to have 60 catches and zero touchdowns. So not a super common occurrence there, but gets a fresh start. So I think that's good. Am I betting for him to be a high producer? Probably not. But if, could he see 80 to 100 targets? Wouldn't be terribly surprising. Right? Could he step in a number two role where Robbie Anderson just falls on his face? Yeah, I think that's possible. So we'll see how that goes. Again, I think he's kind of later down, and it's a lower base rates play, but I'm interested to see. I think he's probably been better than people give him credit for, and a reset of his career is probably not the worst thing. Pittsburgh likely to start Mitchell Trubisky, and shouldn't be terribly surprising there. Darren Waller, there's reports that he's going to get $16 million a year. I don't know if I agree with that because he's actually between agents at the moment. So I wouldn't hold my breath on that. Peter King actually reported that Trey Sermon will be the number two running back. So I'm curious there if Jeff Wilson's a cut or something like that. I'd be curious to see. I trust Peter King, but I'd be actually really curious because that's 100% inconsistent with what the reports have been throughout training camp. So we'll be watching that. Ty Montgomery dealing with an ankle injury. Bill Belichick not giving out information. Let's see if he lands on PUP. Let's see if he, lands on IR or something like that at this 53-man cutdown. Again, this will probably be, as you're listening to this, it'll be today that we'll get some more of this information. But that could be a spike for Ramondre Stevenson. Some thought that Alexander Mattison, like there's absurd, absolutely absurd quotes about Alexander Mattison. Like I like Alexander Mattison. I think he's a good player. I want to, Alexander Madison's my guy. However, some of the quotes about him are just ridiculous. Talking about how, he's got interest from like over a dozen teams. It feels like the braggadocious, person in college is like, yeah, every girl in the, every girl in the dorm was just couldn't get enough of me. Like they all wanted me. It's like, all right, like you've kind of, that's not true, right? Like that's just not true. So I'll be surprised about if there's actually that return. I will say if they are, Madison's not going to re-sign a contract with them. Maybe they tag him, which seems it's not going to happen, right? Like that's not going to happen either. So he's going to hit the free agency market next year. My question would be for Minnesota, if I'm Minnesota, is it better to have him and then him hit free agency? And if this is true, right, if you do have a dozen teams that are sort of, knocking on the door interested in bringing him in, if that's actually true, I think trading him right now would probably be a bad decision, right? Play him out on a cheap contract, and then you get another spot where you're very much, where you can actually get a comp pick for him, right? So you could actually use him this year and get maybe a pick as good or better in a future class by holding on to him, right? So I'd be sort of interested in that interchange there, and how that works out. I do think maybe a spec pickup on Kenny Ngonwu. He's gotten the first team looks ahead of Ty Chandler when it hasn't been Cook or Madison. So that would sort of be the thing that I would look for. However, I'm not, like if this happens on Tuesday and he gets traded Tuesday, for example, you're probably not going to get that action in with a waiver run, right? No. So I'll be able to report more on that tomorrow. But Miami cut Sony Michel. New Orleans cut Abram Smith and Divine Ozigbo. So really look at like Tony Jones and Mark Ingram going to be the guys there. Pittsburgh cut Mateo Durant. There's some stuff going on with Najee Harris, a Lisfranc sprain. Dr. Gene at Football Guys isn't super concerned about it, so I'm not super concerned about it. But Jalen Warren, Benny Snell, we'll see if there's another cut there. Maybe we'll be watching that. Tim Boyle cut from Detroit. David Blau, quarterback 2. Probably not rostering a ton of those guys, but I do just want to add it. We have talked about Boyle from time to time, maybe once or twice a year. So that is a notable thing there. And I would bet that they're not done. There's some thought that maybe Mason Rudolph is going to be on the trade block. You know, Detroit landing spot would probably not be. It would almost certainly be a quarterback upgrade for them at the number 2 spot. Jacksonville cut Laquon Treadwell, so happy trails there. And, that's pretty much the news, right? That's pretty much the news. So the big things I'm watching, potential trades. Let's see what happens with Waller and if there's news here on a contract extension with him. And those are really the big things there for today. So I'll have some more content here. I have a cover tomorrow. Probably going to double dip on some podcasts that I've got sort of, in the back pocket here that I've been kind of working on, some stuff I want to get out for you guys pre-season here. So be on the lookout for that. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.